Hey girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm a saucy 29-year-old who left the corporate world to go on to build a 7-figure online business. But most days, I still feel like I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm obsessed with the process of us getting to figure it out together. We've got epic guests, incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Hey girl, I'm so excited for today's episode because we have on the show Libby Crow. She is honestly just a badass entrepreneur. She was actually a teacher and found her path into entrepreneurship by accident through network marketing. And she's now the founder of a marketing strategy company. She runs multiple programs to teach women how to build and scale businesses online. She's the co-founder of The Daily Shift, which is a personal development company for aspiring and accomplished entrepreneurs that she actually started with her husband, Scott. And she's built a personal brand that's earned over 7 figures last year. But what I love most about her beyond like all of those accomplishments is she's zesty and she's spunky and she's honest. And I found Libby and immediately connected with her content because her style is like, she tells you what's up, but in a loving way. And she's really honest and you kind of just want to be best friends with her. So we talk about masculine and feminine energy toward goal setting. We talk about figuring out what your thing is, how to move past that feeling of feeling stuck and asking yourself better questions to get more clarity for what you actually want out of your life. So I really think you're going to like this episode. As always, tag me, Keisha Fitzgerald, or Anne Libby Crow with any fun takeaways when you check out this episode. Now, girl, let's dive right in. Woo! Libby, I'm so excited that you're here today. Welcome to the show, girl.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm pumped.
This is going to be so fun. So I have so many different directions that I want to take this, but I feel like let's set the stage first for the listener to kind of give them a little bit of your backstory. You know, Libby, as a teacher, even before that, like take us back a little bit and kind of tell us about your upbringing so we can really get to know Libby.
Yeah. I mean, so before I had several successful companies, I didn't even know anything about entrepreneurship. I'm from a small town in Wyoming, and I kind of was fed that same path that a lot of people are fed, where it's like, go to school, get your degree, get married, have a family, pay off your student loans. And I was doing that. I was a first and second grade teacher. And one of my friends posted this picture that she had lost weight. And at that time, I was ready to lose some weight because I had just finished 5 years of drinking heavily in college and eating a shit ton of burritos in college. And I was like way more uncomfortable than I've ever been because I grew up as an athlete with my body. And I was like, all right, I want to do that. So I joined her program, which was a beach body coaching program.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was okay. But I was like, if I ran a program like this, it would be so much better. Like I could make this interesting and, you know, activating for people. And I have so many more tools in my toolbox of just being a human where I could coach people. So I asked her, can I run a group like this? Number one, it was probably from a subconscious, unhealthy desire of just wanting to be skinny. And I was like, if I have to be people's leader, then I'm going to be forced to be losing weight. You know what I mean? So it was probably from an unhealthy place. But anyway, I was also excited about it. I was starting to feel good, feel healthy, meeting lots of cool new people, connecting with people that I hadn't connected with also because I didn't have an audience or anything at that time. I became a beach body coach. And so I
didn't even, until I started like digging more into some of your content, I didn't even know that. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
man, that's really funny.
Well, it was a long
gateway.
Time. It was like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was a long
before
time
me. Yeah.
And so I was just kind of blown away by this new world of possibility. I mean, I had no idea you could just start a business, you know? So I was pretty shocked and also so addicted to this concept. And from that moment on, my first challenge group, for really the next like 2-3 years, I became obsessed with learning about online business strategy and marketing, growing a team, growing my social media, how to have sales conversations, all the things necessary, right, to grow a coaching consulting type company. And I left Beachbody actually a couple years after. I did really well. I was like in the top 125 within the first year. I was like pretty hardcore, like Beachbody life, you know? And then I got exposed to other opportunities of being able to be of service. So I was like, oh, I could have a personal brand and sell my own products and programs, package my own things. So I studied eating psychology and just things that could help me more holistically help people with their health and well-being. And so then I kind of left Beachbody, and I was so grateful for it as a stepping stone for me. And and then I started doing my own retreats, live workshops, online courses, group coaching programs, one-on-one consulting, and just kind of blew up my coaching business. And then from there, you know, the way that I helped women transformed, as it always does for entrepreneurs, we usually teach what we're lit up by, you know. So I'd be lit up by this spiritual thing, or, you know, this empowering thing, or body image, or whatever. And I'd kind of create programs and opportunities to help people based off of that. And then later on, kept getting people asking me if I could coach them in their own business. And I was like, you know, yeah, it just doesn't sound as fun though. So I kept saying no, because I really just like to have fun and keep it light. And but people kept knocking on the door. So I said, okay, I'll start mentoring some people. And turns out, you know, the processes and systems and methods that I created for myself are really duplicatable, because that's how I was trained as a Beachbody coach, like create the things for your team, you know? So it's almost like day one, I was a business coach. It all came full circle. And so for a few years now, I've been primarily focused on those types of marketing and strategy based consulting programs for online entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, and people who have their own businesses. So it kind of went all full circle. And, you know, the last year I scaled to 7 figures with a team, and learned a ton from that. Usually my growth was, I would say, more steady and slow, and it really went exponential last year. And it's been a trip, but so it's wild, like from nothing, from like a lot of student loan debt to like my beautiful, amazing life now. It's a trip.
So crazy. And I think what's really cool about that too, the girl that's in Trader Joe's right now, like listening to this, is if you don't know what's coming next, it's like you followed this path that got you here, and every single step along the way was important. So you could learn what you needed from that experience, take it and apply it to the next one, right? So how did you actually feel when you were in that? So for someone that's like, Libby, like, I love that this has turned into this beautiful life for you, but like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's next. What would you say to her?
Yeah, I would say for most of it, I felt so uncomfortable. Like it's not a good time. Like, I think people think that entrepreneurship is a good time. I'd say like photo shoot days are really fun. When you have a really successful launch and you have money and you don't have to worry, it's a lot of fun. But in between, 98% is discomfort, and it's pure willingness and sacrifice of this imaginary zone of flow and magic. It's like, it's real, you know? Yeah. Like, that's why Gary Vee is like, you know, like him or not, he's honest about how it is. So I would, to be honest, it's hard. And every day there were endless challenges and new things. But the thing that kind of helped guide me on what direction to take is like, what moves me? What am I actually excited about? Because if I wasn't excited about it, you bet your butt I'm not going to do the work to actually see it out or create something around it. So for me, my excitement and the pulse of something that felt interesting has always guided me. And sure, it might not always make the most sense, but I followed that interest or that alignment feeling. And that's what led me to actually take those steps to the next stepping stones. And it didn't always make sense. It wasn't like crazy. I didn't go from like Beachbody coaching to like, you know, marine biology or something. Like, it wasn't like a huge jump each time. It was almost just like things started to build on each other as I would evolve as a person. And I allowed that to almost be my guide.
Oh, so powerful to hear, just listening to your intuition, but also backing it up with work. Like, I love that part. That's what really attracted me to your content too, is because I think there's a lot of people that talk about like alignment and just kind of like waiting for the universe to like connect and stuff, which is cool. That's cool if that's you. I mean, I live in Southern California. That's like what I hear in every coffee shop. But but I think the edge that you have that I love and so resonate with, because it's kind of how I teach with coaching as well, is like finding joy in the process, not what the process produces, but actually working. So can you talk a little bit about, I heard you on a podcast talking about kind of like feminine versus like masculine approaches to goals. And I think that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah, I think for every person, they have their own rhythm and they kind of have their own flavor and texture and fabric to their way of being. I think a lot of it was learned from whoever raised us or the people around us and what they were up to. So the way that it worked for me is I was always kind of this high achiever, high performer archetype based off wanting to prove something to my dad. You know, we're all just working through our parent shit, you know what I'm saying? So it was always like through my athleticism or through my music or through whatever. And so that just transfers to entrepreneurship. Any patterns you have will transfer, just amplified to entrepreneurship. And so for me, that looked like I need to hit every goal. I need to create these huge visions like da, 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 da. And it got me to places because that pattern was I have to do it. I have to achieve this. That isn't enough, you know, and I was so hard on myself throughout that. But yeah, I was able to hit a lot of those goals and have a lot of success and yada, yada. But there was an imbalance because I was so in the doing and not in the being. I thought people who, I would have friends, at, you know, over the last however many years of focusing on business only, that they'd wake up and they just have this like chillax day and they'd go dance on the beach and do their ritual. And I'd be annoyed at them. I'd be like, ugh. And you think you're going to make money doing that? Like I had this attitude of like goal, like to-do list, like, you know, and I would just get addicted to that cycle of doing. And so I've learned over being able to have spaciousness in my life from that long season of achievement to take more space and time and to find more harmony in this. And that's where I've maybe activated what could be called the feminine energy of allowing surrender, flow, softness, what have you, where now it's like, I don't wake up and let work own me. I own work, where I was so identified as with my business that I didn't know how to put it in its place, I guess. And also it was fun. So, you know, you kind of get into it. You just can't stop, you know, it's like a good drug business can be when you're excited about it. So yeah, for me, I've really learned, geez, I can do forever and get but who at sacrifice at what? My relationships, my health, moments with friends. So for me, I've really kind of taken a look at what's really important, and it's always people and health, you know? So I kind of reevaluated some priorities and values over time. And I also think, though, it is important to have both. I think you're not going to get that far if you're just wailing around the beach like a little panda without goals and strategy and action.
Right.
So it's a good balance. And there'll be seasons where you're more hardcore and you're feminine, and then you're hardcore and you're masculine, and then they shift and change. So nothing is set in stone either.
Yep. Oh, I love that answer. And I think that's so powerful for people to hear that if they're on one side of the spectrum or another, you can find like an ebb and flow balance, but it maybe won't look the same every season, which is where people ask.
My latest one I was going to say has been like so hardcore to the feminine. I always say the pendulum swings, right? So my pendulum was so far on the masculine that it swung hard to the other side and knocked me on my booty. And I've learned a lot from this last season of just surrender. It's been very uncomfortable for me as a doer and achiever. And I also just love creativity. Like I feel like when I wake up and serve people, that's my art. That's like my paint on a canvas. And so when there's a season of less of that, it can feel a little drag to me, like heavy to me. So it's knowing yourself. And I would say too, one thing that I've learned from this feminine masculine thing is I'm so different. And whoever's listening is so different than everyone else.
Yep.
And so what they might need for their fill up lovey feminine part is going to be different from me. And so it's never to look at what people are doing and say, oh, it could be like that. It's asking yourself, what do I really need right now?
Yeah. Powerful question. And actually getting to the real answer, right? Of like asking yourself several times so you don't just say what you think you should say. It's like, okay, well, do you like, how do you help people become more self-aware? Because I feel like that's kind of like a superpower that you have of like that emotional like EQ side of you. Like how do you help people figure out what drives them?
Thanks. Yeah. I think at the end of the, I consider myself like without a label, but a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
It's actually a thing. Like I definitely fit into the category of that when you look up the quizzes and all the research on it. I'm like, that is me. So I think like from a sensory level, I am just kind of aware of what's happening, discernment of energy and all those things. But I think that people can increase their sensitivity and awareness by, number one, slowing down. And that's really hard for high achievers, high performers, entrepreneur types, because it's like their whole life they've been running generally. Yeah. And or they weren't until they found this opportunity and now they are and everyone around them is. And so to slow down feels kind of sacrilegious, or it feels yeah. opposite of what you're supposed to do. And yet that's the only time that you'll actually be able to understand what you need. You'll be able to think, contemplate, philosophize, vision, and the richness comes from that spaciousness, and awareness comes from that spaciousness. So if you get a massage, you know all the feelings and the thoughts you're processing, because it's like that's what you need to do. So these self-awareness really is like, number one, slowing down and asking yourself these questions like, how am I really, really doing? Like, who am I really, really becoming? What would bring me most relief right now? What do I need to feel full? Like, just asking yourself these questions and befriending yourself. I think for a long time, I was really good at criticizing myself and not befriending myself. So I think awareness comes from when you also realize that you're your own bestie.
Yeah. So powerful. So, okay. Along the course of like becoming, you know, this multi-passionate entrepreneur with all of these different silos and things that you're juggling, how has your relationship like fit into that? How are you kind of managing all of that now? Obviously, I know you're like newly married. Tell us about that, because that's just exciting.
So my husband and I, Scott, we've been married for about a year. Yeah. And, you know, I dated for 16 years before him. I never settled. I was really clear that I needed someone to meet me in my magic, meet me in my possibility-centric way of being. And it needed to be a special person. And a lot of people kind of fit the bill until I met Scott. And so I think when you meet that person that has, you know, their own goals that is full outside of you, and you guys can come together, it catalyzes. So, geez, I would say that every part of me has evolved so rapidly since being with him. We have really good communication. So it can be hard, I think, when, you know, one person's an entrepreneur and one's not. There's like some dissonance that can happen, not always, but sometimes. And it's really nice because he's already super successful before I met him. And so we kind of met from a place and an understanding of a frequency. And from that, I mean, I feel like conscious communication is the most beautiful thing in any relationship. So just being really clear, like, how are you feeling? What are your needs? And creating sacred space for that every day. We also are big believers in like having help. So we have like a therapist together, and we just have like family meetings together, and we're our own, you know, biggest cheerleaders for each other, and communicating and talking stuff out and not feeling like you ever do anything wrong, and being 100% for the other person. I mean, it kind of flows, to be honest with you. I mean, we don't yell, we don't argue. We love each other, and we want what's best for each other, and we support each other. And it gets to be that simple. Not that it's perfect. Of course not. We work at it.
Right.
But we talk every single day, and we take that time to do that. So there's no withholds. There's no energy or distance that's built up, and we're clear. We goal set together. We schedule our calendars together. We even, you know, co-founded a company called The Daily Shift together.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Yeah.
It's a mindset company for entrepreneurs. And we have a program called The Daily Shift. So we recorded 365 videos together, which was a relationship course in itself, right?
Literally, like, honey, move over. My hair looks better this angle.
He knows I'm always on the left side, you know? So that in itself was like a crash course in communication. But like that together, it's like a creative project together. It's really powerful. And yeah, we're just honestly, it's like two peas in a pod. Like, that's probably how you feel like with your boo too. So I think that, you know, if you're not having that support, it would be really hard to go after what you want and have that ambition. But we just get each other and get what we're about. So honestly, just communication is key.
Agreed. And like being so intentional about it. And I think that's a really great thing for someone to hear, that what really just like breaks my heart is women that will DM me like, Keisha, I just feel like I can't find my person. And it's like, they're 28 and they want to be married by 30. I'm like, why are we so caught up in this like timeline, isn't the actual goal to like find your person that you actually want to be with in 50 years, not just find them by a certain timeline? So I think that's really powerful that you got married in the last year and like that you would not settle for someone that you knew wasn't going to support your dreams and your goals. And that's a powerful thing for someone that's single right now and like crying and feeling frustrated to like just do you until someone can help you do you better, right?
Yeah. And I would say too, I dated guys who did support me, but it wasn't like magical connection where it was like my best friend, my lover, my boyfriend, everything in one chunkaroo. It's like just a worthiness, deserving energy that you can tap into. Like, no, I'm not going to settle on someone who kind of gets me. I'm going to settle with the person who is obsessed with me and who I'm never too much for and who's just lights my flame even more. I felt often like people would be a damp rag on my sparkler.
Yeah, girl!
Dampened like my light, you know. And with Scott, I feel like we have like a fireworks shop, you know.
Yeah, he's literally like putting gasoline on this bucket. That's amazing. And that's, I mean, I really just think that's such a powerful statement in itself. Like, just don't settle. You don't have to. There's no race. You don't get a trophy for getting somewhere faster. but okay, with the business that you guys built together, obviously it's for entrepreneurs around their mindset. Can you talk to us a little bit about like, what are some of the like tools that you use in that program? Who does it target? Kind of like who can it benefit?
Yeah, there's some core pillars. Like one of the obviously core pillars is personal development. So we go into everything from responsibility to empathy to leadership to confidence to there's just anything you could imagine. You know, there's 365 videos. So we go into a lot of different elements of personal development and leadership. And then we go into some of the more specific parts of business. So there's a whole thing on finances and money where we help people with their money story and their abundance limitations and expansion of those. And then we go into marketing and strategy. And this is all personal development. So it's mindset. So it's not like, here's how you build your funnel. We have different programs for that. It's actually more about how someone is showing up, maybe in their messaging, maybe in the way that they're creating content, maybe in their confidence within marketing. So there's that. And then we talk about helping how you scale a team. A lot of people get stuck on being the significant one in the business and they don't want to let go of responsibility or trust others. So a lot of mindset around team. We do mindset around pretty much every area of business in the daily shift. But I would say most people they get obsessed with the money part and they get obsessed with the leadership part because most people are held back in taking action from confidence or they think that they need some clear, perfect plan and they need to know exactly what's going to happen and they don't want to take any action unless they know, when really entrepreneurship is a shit ton of imperfect, messy action and seeing what actually works.
Yes.
You know, there's no like,
preach.
It's unfortunate like with the school system because we're kind of taught do things in this way and you get this result, study for this test and you get this gold star and entrepreneurship, all that's just white clean and it's kind of the Wild West. And if you show up and if you are magnetic and if you're confident and you do your own personal development, you're going to attract people and then you help them. And then so it doesn't have to be as prescribed and people that freaks people out. So they, you know, they're immobilized. So a lot of the mindset work is helping people tap back into their own power.
Love that. So from that, could you give us like a couple little like action, like things that people could even implement like quickly if they're like, ooh, I'm like loving what Libby's saying. Like, I want to check out that course, but also like, what is some way that someone could goal set like with their significant other or could like take action to like move in the right direction towards their goals that maybe you guys teach even?
Sure. So I'll go deep then light. So I think from a deep place, one thing that I always wish my own mentors and coaches would have asked me, and I take full responsibility for this, but I wish someone would have asked me, Libby, the goals you have, are they really yours or were they planted in you by someone else? Because I went to so many events and seminars and rah, 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 and took so many courses that it's like I didn't really know what I wanted, but I that person says this is the right thing. Oh, I can build my 6-figure, 7-figure business like that. I guess that's what I do. I didn't know how to ask myself what I really wanted. So before you goal set, I would ask yourself, is this really, really what I want? Or is this someone else's desire?
Yes.
And what is it that I really want? So I would go back there before you start to goal set. first of all. And that could take like a week of journaling, you know?
Yeah. And, or like in a season, like a crazy season, like months. Who knows?
Yeah, and no shame if like you find out, whoa, I actually don't want a 7-figure business. Like I just want to make 10K a month. Like no shame if you're like, I just want to make 4K a month. No shame if you're like, I actually don't really want to work. I want my stuff on autopilot. Like no shame in whatever you want.
Yep.
Like, so that's where I would start. And then from a lighter level, you know, to integrate like the Scott and Libby game here, one thing that's really fun that we have people do at the very beginning of shift is sit down together, get a crap ton of sticky notes and a blank wall or window or whatever you have in your house and make goals for the next 90 days, the next year, and the next 5 years. And so you write down all your goals and all the stickies. So like I'll use a color and Scott will use a different color and we'll kind of go to ourselves. Like we'll put on some music and we'll be by ourselves. He always finishes before me because I really like take time to think about it. He just boom, 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 busts.
He's like,
that,
boom, boom. Okay. Yeah.
And so I will take more time and I'll like write them and he'll just chill while I'm like on my, you know, 100th sticky note, whatever. No, but actually, yeah, there's usually like, at least that many. So we'll do that. And then you put one or you put like 90, one and five on the wall and then put, okay, in the next 90 days, I want to do this. And kind of you put all the sticky notes where they would fit in your own timelines. Yeah. And what's cool is to see where they overlap or they don't overlap because then you can have conversation like, I didn't know you wanted to go to Greece in the next 90 days. Or like, oh, I had no idea that you had this goal to write a book or, you know, whatever comes up for you. Or like, I didn't realize the debt was driving you that much, you know, into worry. So that's good to know that that's our money goal as a family. And so from that place, you have it. It's visually in front of you, take a picture of it or whatever, or keep it up and take the sticky notes off as you accomplish them. That's what we like to do as well. So that's kind of a cool takeaway that you could do. And if you don't have a boo to do it with, do it yourself or do it with a bestie or do it with whoever.
I love that because that's something that everyone could go do that tonight. Fun date night activity. And we've like, Sina and I have been together for 10 years and we've done things like that where we're literally every single day talking about our goals, but mapping it out to visually see it. And there, I could see like random things that would pop up and be like, oh, you wanted to go to Africa? I literally didn't even know that. But like, even if you know someone really well, to the woman listening to this, that's been in a 20-year relationship, it's like, we're evolving humans. Mm-hmm. Maybe all of a sudden the student loan debt is bugging him and you didn't even know. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that is that communication that is helping so much in your relationship, obviously. That's really cool. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So also, I wanted to kind of talk about comparison as a whole, as a female in the social media world. Like for someone that struggles with comparison and kind of like comparing, you know, their behind the scenes to that person's Instagram post. And like, it's just the world that we live in now. How do you kind of manage that? And yeah. How do you manage that?
Yeah. Well, comparison is primitive. We're always going to be looking outside of us to ask ourselves, do I fit in here? It's like a primal thing. So for me, I've always used it as more of a curiosity lens versus a let me now make myself feel bad that I'm not these ways kind of a thing. So anytime I'm looking outside of myself, it's usually because I'm wondering, who am I? And I think that's why we compare, because we're trying to figure out who we are. You know, I had a branding session yesterday with someone. She's helping me kind of rebrand. And she was like, you know, whose content do you consume that you would say you're most like? And it was interesting because it was really easy for me to bust out these four people. And this is why I'm like this person. This is why I'm like this. Is that helpful? She's like, yeah, you really know that. I'm like, yeah, because it's easy for me now to know who I am. But I think a lot of times we're comparing because we're just wondering, like, where do I fit in this world? Are people going to like me? Yeah. Is that me or is it not me? I think sometimes we look at other people's stuff to see who we're not. Yep. Like, oh, I would never post that. You know, like, that's something about me. So I think we're constantly just looking outside ourselves and we don't feel like that we have the answers inside ourselves. And that's okay. It's not bad. It's just when we make ourselves wrong for not being some way or someone that comparison can kind of go awry. So I always say like, oh, what are you searching for? Are you searching to be like, to learn more about yourself? Are you searching for inspiration? Are you just bored? Like, so it's just getting curious about your behavior versus trying to eliminate comparison.
Yes. Oh, I love, there's so much power in like redefining it. Where like when I see someone that's done something that I've done, I'm always like, and I've done episodes on this, so the listeners have heard this, but like, I'm like, oh, that's proof it can be done. But when I do it my way, it's going to look totally different. And the path towards getting there looks different. But there's someone that did it. Cool. The market needs it, right? Yeah. So that's really powerful. Thank you for that. So, okay, in the, can you talk to us a little bit about like when things have like gone wrong, how, like what tools do you dig into your toolbox to pull out, to pull yourself up? Like if you're just feeling down or in a funk or like something just really went like batshit the wrong direction. Yeah. How do you get the Libby light back when you're feeling down?
Well, first I feel the crap and it might be a while. It might be in the muck of the chrysalis before I turn into a butterfly for a while. For the longest time, I resisted any feelings that weren't like joy or positivity. And I realized that that's not really the way through. That's just pretending like something's not there. So I feel it. I process it. I call a friend. I call my mom. I'm honest. I cry a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And generally, it's because I'm trying to push myself to do something that I don't really want to do. That's when things will get all crawled up, you know? So for me specifically in the past, I remember this was probably 4 years ago, maybe more. I did this webinar and the technology on it was freezing up. I thought more people would come to it. I was just really sad and I just felt like the whole thing sucked. And at the end, I was just crying on my kitchen floor and I just wanted to give up. And I was like, I'm just going to work at Anthropology. Like, I hate entrepreneurship. This is too hard. You know, F this. Yeah. And it wasn't until like, you know, I had some support from a mentor that I just got back on the horse and I was like, good to know. I don't like doing live webinars. Like, and I learned from this and, you know, people still signed up and I'm not a failure. So it's like, it's just a learning thing. And anytime that we are in a shadow place or in a place that just isn't fun, it's not trying to push it aside. It's like, wow, what is this teaching me? What can I learn from this? And how can I feel this? Because if we're not feeling it, it's going to come back anyway. And so for me, these hard moments have always been usually around money and my expectation to hit goals around money and not being able to achieve those, or things just not working out that way and not beating myself up for that. That's been the hardest thing for me, to be honest with you. Because for so long, I was really money driven because I was in scarcity. I had a lot of loans to pay off. Survival mode. I always was the supporter to my parents and myself, so I didn't really have any plan B. Yeah. So for the longest time, it would be really a hard days for sure around money until, you know, things weren't that way. Yeah. But for a long time, they were. And I think that's in itself a different conversation too, where people think that everyone's just like, I make six figures now, when really someone might have had a good launch and you don't know now that 90 days after that launch, they're making zero and they're stressed. So there's a lot around money that I had to work with for what I saw outside of me and then also what was happening in reality.
Yeah. I feel like what I'm hearing too is that you kind of focused on one area. Like if you felt really down, that you like tackled one thing first rather than tackling them all at the same time. Is that true?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say that like to not overwhelm yourself and to of course have that singular focus with anything, with most things. Even right now in my business, I'll do one project at a time, like only podcasts or like only branding, only writing my book. And it sounds kind of wild. It might not work for everyone, but I found that that works for me. So yeah, that explains.
Yeah, no, I think so. Cause like, especially for the woman that's like newer to personal development and like, you know, podcasts and Audible and just like, she's realizing, holy crap, I had all this stuff that I didn't realize, like these issues with my parents and like, you know, all this stuff that starts to come up at the beginning that maybe you didn't intentionally or consciously realize because you had dug it down so deep. So I guess what I'm always talking about is like picking something to kind of focus on, because it can be really overwhelming and you don't want to stop focusing on yourself.
Yeah, I get it. It's like you pop open the Pringles can or whatever and it's like, oh, here's all of my crap.
Right.
And like, here's a big giant like wall long mirror for me to look at myself and my crap. And it's really hard. I would say the thing I worked on most was grieving my dad's death and like just grieving dad stuff. And then I would say I worked on these patterns and wounding around pleasing people and wanting to yeah. be liked. And so, yeah, I kind of would singularly, or like then I'd work on my money story or whatever. And I always had coaches to help me. I would say that's so important too, just to have, I mentioned I would call my friends and my mom and stuff, but I always have had mentors and people in my corner where I can be honest and vulnerable and say, I'm having a really hard time, because we all have these hard times. It's not yeah. like all of a sudden you make a crap ton of money and you're like, oh, I'm fine forever. It's like problems, they don't go away.
Totally. I love that. Thank you so much for being so honest too. I appreciate that. Okay. One last question before I move into the final two that I really wanted to just kind of pick your brain around is, to the woman who has a gut feeling that she wants to do something, but she doesn't know what that thing is, right? She's like in this corporate job, maybe she's making a good salary, she's in a great relationship, but she's like, oh, like I feel something, but I don't know what that is or how I should start taking action. How would you kind of walk her through this season that she's in?
Yeah, well, I think you have to think about what does the market need? Where's the gap in the market? So what are people paying money for right now? That's yeah. obviously, if you feel like super moved to create candles, go for it, but you're not going to make like any money for a long yeah. time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So for me, like, I think the coaching consulting model is really smart, especially high ticket. That's what I share in one of my strategy programs, is how to sell a high ticket program, because you can help people deeply and help them transform intimately and get paid a lot more than selling something low tier. Right. I always say that that's a smart way to go, but also that comes with you feeling like you trust your expertise, your certification in something, like how you help people. So sometimes that can take a while if you go from straight corporate to like me. I learned, you know, coaching and all of that, and I invested in certification programs at the beginning to feel more confident in helping people. But it's like, what's the way that you like to help people? Do you like to teach? Do you like to coach? Do you like to mentor? There's all these different kind of flavors also in the helping people world, and mm-hmm. and what lights you up. It could be health, it could be with money, it could be with business, like whatever the person's background is, you know.
Right.
And just kind of remembering that you have something special right now, whether it is something that you even view as an expertise or not. A lot of people don't realize what they're actually good at because they're just doing it. It's like you can't see the label when you're in the bottle. So,
yeah. Ooh, so I love that.
You could be the most amazing social media manager, but you're just good at social media, so you don't even realize it, that you have a gift in it. Or you could be the most amazing designer, but yeah. you've always been. So sometimes we don't really, when you start, it's kind of hard because you're getting to know what you're actually good at and trusting that, oh, I am good at that. And sometimes we just don't see ourselves. So it's an explorative time. Honestly, I don't do a lot of clarity work with people because that's a rough one.
Yeah.
It's rough because people are, it's a lot of inner work that they need to do to trust themselves, to be able to go for it and have that willingness. But honestly, everyone right now in this moment, without doing any kind of certification, has some mega gifts, have some mega things that they're really good at that other people need, that there's probably a gap in the market for. So it's tapping into yourself.
Yeah. And even like paying attention to what people tell you that you haven't really paid attention to, right? Of like, oh, you are good at this. It's like, wait, maybe I could.
Yeah, you could ask people. You could literally, maybe you don't have an audience, whatever, but you have people probably, you know, in your life or in real life or on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. And you could just say, when you think of me, like, what do you think of? Like, what do you feel like I'm really good at? And just ask people, and the answer might present itself, you know? And I would say it matters that you're passionate about it too.
Because
I've done a lot of things I'm just good at, but it doesn't bring me joy because I'm not passionate about it.
And then you want to take a fork and literally shove it in your eyeball. At least I do. I love that. Thank you so much, Libby. Okay, so a couple of things. One, we have a Spotify playlist for this podcast. So I would love to know if you have a jam that you want to add to it. And then also, what is something that you do to get yourself quickly into like a high excited state?
Oh, well, that's funny because my operations manager just made a playlist on Spotify for me called Empowered.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I just was like jamming out in my car earlier today listening to this playlist. So you caught me on a really good day.
It's literally called Empower Her Playlist.
Well, I know. It's so weird. I didn't even know you asked this. Perfect, right? So I would say, can I give you 40? Because this whole playlist is... I would say the one that it's like, does this song ever get old? I don't know. For me, it doesn't. But the Unpretty song by TLC.
Yes. So good.
Is it already on the playlist?
It actually is on the playlist.
Okay. Let me add a different one then. Let's add Let Me Blow Your Mind by Eve. And
okay. That's a classic.
And Stefani.
So good. So
yeah. And to pep up, is that your second question?
Yeah.
So music, right? And then I have a trampoline at home here. Jumping on that. Yeah, it's like wherever I can infuse fun, it's like I'm about that. So I jump on the tramp. Honestly, a walk around the block with my dog, fresh air is like my thing. And for me, honestly, I've been healing adrenal fatigue. So I've been looking for these ways that I can jolt my energy and my feeling, my physiology, right? And so it's generally jumping on the tramp, going outside in fresh air, and also so silly and so simple, drinking a crap ton of water. These are like my things that get me back in the game when I just feel sluggish.
You kind of give me the heebie-jeebies because we have a lot of similar, literally I have a trampoline right there on my dog.
You do?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
You'll have to bring your trampoline up here to LA and we can jump on the trampoline together.
I can't wait. And we could maybe just wear onesies and then walk our dogs.
Let's do that. So fun.
I love it. Okay, so can you tell us also, like, what are you excited about right now? What, like, programs, obviously, you have the Daily Shift with Scott. Tell us about your business, tell us everything.
Yeah. So I have two kind of programs, the Daily Shift, Shift 365 with all those videos from me and Scott on mindset. And then I also have the Business Accelerator, which is a business and marketing strategy course for coaches and consultants, which is dope. And what I'm excited about right now is I'm expanding my brand to be more lifestyle. So talking about things besides business and entrepreneurship. So yeah. I do a lot of philanthropy work. I just got back from a trip to Necker Island with Richard Branson because I donated a lot of money to his Virgin Unite. So I want to create a lifestyle brand that incorporates a lot of philanthropy, entrepreneurship, of course, spiritual, emotional development, of course, and then also the fun, girly crap that I am as well. Because even though I'm deep and smart and all that crap, I also like to talk about nails and hair and clean makeup and all the fun, girly crap. And I just feel like, where has this fit in before? And it hasn't really. So I'm just going to open my brand to complete lifestyle. I told you I was doing a rebrand.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped about that. I'm starting to write my first book right now about Behind the Dream, which is my movement, my podcast too, about really what goes down in building the business. And so those two things are lighting me up. And I'm also, even though I'm married, having my wedding ceremony and up in the Redwood Mountains here in California later this year. So that's lighting me up too, just doing the planning and all that for that.
Oh my gosh. Libby, I love your energy. I love everything that you shared. It's going to be so helpful. The tangible stuff, but just like tapping in, you know, like when you're first getting into podcasts or you're listening to podcasts or you don't have people around you that you can tap into a conversation like that, just hearing from you is so helpful for people. So thank you so much. And then where can we find you? They want to connect you.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. I wish I would have listened to podcasts when I first started. They weren't like they are now, you know?
Right.
There was a bunch of dudes, you know, that were like, and
so true.
I was like, this is boring. I don't like podcasts, but now it's so different. So yeah, thanks guys for listening. Thank you for being such a gracious host. Everything's at Libby Crow on Instagram, on Facebook, my website, everything pretty easy.
Awesome. Okay. And last thing, do you have anything that you want to leave with the audience in terms of the woman listening to this, who's just like, I want to take action. I'm excited. I'm feeling held back. Like, give me a little mojo, Libby.
Yeah. For me, what's always been my greatest guide, not just in business, but in my life, is my intuition. And sometimes I bypass that because my head likes to play the driver's seat game. And so just remembering that you have an inner compass inside of you. It's in your belly. It's in your heart, most likely not in your head. And that is a better guide than any book you're going to read, any course you're going to take, any podcast even you're going to listen to, any retreat you'll go to. It's always that listening to that feeling inside of you and that voice inside of you that's coming from the truest, wisest part of you. That's been my most amazing, richest support system, is that self-trust and intuition. And I would say anytime you're conflicted or you're not sure what to do next, be with yourself and listen to what it says. And that's most likely going to guide you into the next best step.
Oh, So powerful. Such a good tidbit to leave them with. Thank you so much, Libby. I so appreciate you and the way that you're showing up and like the impact that you're making. Like, you're phenomenal. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, I would so appreciate it if you share with your girlfriends, or better yet, post it on Instagram stories and tag me. Then I can personally say thank you for helping me get this message out there. And if you didn't vibe with it, just keep that to yourself. I'm kind of new here, still trying to figure it all out. Talk to you soon, girl.